Well, good evening. It's wonderful to hear you sing the glory of the cross. It's really what we celebrate tonight in baptism, the reality of what our Lord did in not only paying the penalty for the sin of those who would be baptized, but in bringing through his death and resurrection new life to those who will be baptized tonight. I just want to remind you before we begin of what baptism is and isn't. Baptism is not something that affects a change in our relationship to God. Baptism is a sign that occurs after true conversion, after true salvation. All of those who will be baptized here tonight have already repented of their sins and come to realize that their only hope is in the life and the death of Jesus Christ and in his resurrection. And they have repented and believed in him, committed to follow him as Lord. And all of that has happened, and they have been made right with God prior to tonight. Tonight is simply the public testimony of that reality. In fact, in baptism, several things occur in terms of testimony. One of them is simply a public confession of Jesus Christ as Lord. In the early church, when someone was baptized, before they went under the water, they actually would say those words, "Jesus is Lord." And that's what each of these tonight say by their very presence in this baptistry. But it also pictures a spiritual reality. Baptism portrays in beautiful form what has happened to their lives. They stand here before you and they share their testimony of what God has done. And then, as Christ commanded, I will thrust them under the water, immerse them in water. And that pictures the reality that the person they used to be died. The person they used to be died with Christ, and that person no longer lives. They are a new creation. And then as I bring them up out of the water, it pictures even as Christ was raised from death into new life, they too have been raised out of spiritual death into new life. And so it's a beautiful picture of what God has done in their lives through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope as they come tonight and they share their testimonies with you that you'll be praying for them and that you will, as if you're in Christ, you'll be rehearsing and remembering God's own work in your life, the lives of those you love. And tonight, if you're here and you have never come to know Jesus Christ as these have, that you will hear God's work in their lives and God will, through that, draw you to himself. That's our prayer, even as they share their testimonies with us tonight.
Good evening. My name is Jonathan Todd, and this is my testimony. I grew up in a Christian household, so I heard the gospel many times. I never really doubted that God was real, but I wouldn't repent for my sins, like it says in Mark 1:15b. I was bitter, and I was dishonest. I would lie constantly to get attention and to get out of doing schoolwork and such. About 2 years ago, I was talking with my dad about loving God, and in my mind, I thought I had accepted God's role in my life. But it wasn't until I read through James that I realized that faith without works is dead. James 2:19 says that even the demons believe and shudder. This verse struck me because I saw myself in that verse. I believed that God was the one true God, but I was unwilling to repent and follow God's will and not my own. My sinful nature made it impossible for me to be justified before God, but Jesus was sent by God to bear the punishment for my sins according to Romans 6:23. After the conviction I felt when I read that verse, I became very anxious. I knew that I was not a Christian. I prayed that night, confessing my sins, and that Jesus was Lord of my life, like it says in Romans 10:9. My former ways were not acceptable before God, and I wanted to change. God opened my eyes to the truth about my sins in that verse, and even through his word showed me the way to salvation. Since coming to Christ, I have grown in a love for God and his word. I have struggled with patterns of sin in my life, but those have either been reduced or eradicated. I have grown in the fruits of the Spirit and in pursuing the essentials such as worship, prayer, Bible study, and fellowship. I have made attending church and youth group a priority because being in the workplace has made fellowship with other believers more important to me. I study the Bible often, and I meditate on what I read every day, and I have come tonight to be baptized and publicly affirm my faith.
Jonathan, thank you for your testimony. We rejoice at God's work in your life, that he brought you through James to an understanding that true faith is a faith that ends up obeying and following Christ. Because you have confessed Jesus as Lord, and because you have believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, because you have come to know him in that way, it is my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is McCrae Milton, and tonight I wish to share my testimony of Christ's work in my life. Ever since I was 7, I had believed I was a Christian. I based that belief on the fact that my parents were Christians and that I went to church here at Countryside week in and week out. But my life showed a very different story. I was proud, selfish, and wanted my own way. Isaiah 17:9 depicted my heart perfectly. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I always thought church services were boring. My time reading my Bible was little to none. Prayer time for me was only at meals and at night. It was in junior high that the Lord started convicting me of the reality that I was a sinner. As Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I realized that I didn't even know if I was saved, and that troubled me greatly. Then God lifted the veil from my eyes, and I recognized the fact that I was deceiving myself into thinking I was a Christian. I was going to spend eternity banished from God's presence. I got on my knees and prayed to Christ for forgiveness and asked him to come into my life as Lord and Savior. 1 John 1:9 states that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Also, Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. The weight was lifted from my shoulders. I was no longer carrying the burden. Jesus was. Since Christ drew me to himself, God's word has become important in my day-to-day life. My prayer pattern has increased as I strive to know and love God more. Growing in my love for Jesus has also strengthened my love for my parents, demonstrated in the way I treat them and show respect to them. I consider them one of my great examples. As a result of my love for the Lord and in obedience to Christ's command in his word, I wish tonight to be baptized.
Thank you, McCrae, for your testimony of faith in Christ. We're so grateful that the Lord removed the blinders of self-righteousness and brought you to a true knowledge of himself. Because you now truly, from the heart, as you read, confess Jesus as Lord, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Andrew Russell, and this is my testimony, the events that led me to Christ. Before my life in Christ, I was a wretched sinner, as is all of humanity, seen in Ephesians 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. Although I lived in a Christian home and was raised up through Christianity, I wasn't saved. I was 4 to 6 years old when I first heard the gospel way. However, I was young and didn't quite grasp the power of the gospel. I grew up being a good, obedient child because of my parents' teaching. But still, there was no life of the Spirit within my heart. Eventually, family problems arose in my early years of my life, and God brought me to the gospel. Again, I heard the gospel from my father. At that time, I said a false prayer and thought I was saved. But I still wasn't obedient to what I heard. I knew the facts of the Bible. Jesus was God. I was a sinner. And Jesus had come to save sinners. But there was one crucial part of the gospel and salvation that I did not come to know until I came to Countryside Bible Church. I was a depraved sinner, seen in Romans 3:23, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. That drove me to Jesus Christ and the cross. When my family and I joined Countryside, we were all amazed with the expository teaching and the Calvinistic point of view. I was utterly convicted when I had learned that you can't earn your salvation. That was the one thing I didn't realize. I was exactly like the rich young ruler in Mark 10:17. Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? You can't. It finally made sense to me after about 5 minutes of being in the church. Once again, I was told the gospel, and at that moment of time, in which I don't quite know when, I was regenerated through Christ according to his purpose. Since then, there has been a complete change in my attitude. There has been a longing for Christ's word and evident sanctification, seen in 1 Corinthians 6:11. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Though I sin because of my imperfection in flesh, I hate it to the core. That is always the true mark of a Christian. After being saved for 2 to 3 years, I learned tons through our church and through the Word of God. It drastically changed my life, and it continually makes me humbled to be called a child of Christ. That is why I'm here to be baptized. Thank you.
Andrew, thank you so much. We rejoice in God's work in your life and his providence and bring you here and all he's done through his word. Because you have been brought to the place that you have abandoned all hope in making yourself right with God. And you are depending solely on the work of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Matt Carsons. I grew up in a Christian home and have attended Countryside since 1993. While growing up in a Christian home, I knew many of the answers to the questions and what was required of me to be saved. I always wanted to say and do the right things, but my mind and heart were filled with sin and I lacked true repentance. It was not until the events of 9/11, when I was 19, and all the chaos that was occurring around the world, that I started to fully realize how sinful the nature of man was. Two verses came to mind, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life, in Christ Jesus our Lord, and 1 Peter 2:24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds we were healed. I talked with my father before leaving for school that night and listened to him explain the gospel. I realized that I was a sinner and was hopeless without God. And he took the punishment for my sins by dying on the cross so I would have eternal life through Christ and that believing in him, I would be saved. As years went by, my faith became weak and I was not following Christ as the Bible instructs. Over the past several years, God has shown extreme grace and mercy. After near-death experiences at work and a divorce, he has opened up my eyes to realize the importance of my walk with the Lord and how much his saving grace truly is. Through those extremely difficult times, I have a deeper understanding of God's love and that he died for me. Now in Christ, my patience, compassion, and forgiveness for others is greater. Through his word, the Lord is showing me how to be a godly example for my children, by desiring to continually grow in his word, honoring and glorifying him. As Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And that is why I'm here to be baptized tonight.
Matt, thank you for your testimony. We do rejoice in God's goodness, how he used even events in our world to bring you to a knowledge of himself. Because you have repented of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ alone, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Nick Edwards. I've been going to church and professing to be a Christian ever since I was little. I had no desire to read God's word, hardly prayed, and did not appreciate sound doctrine. Once I went to college and experienced many temptations, my faith proved illegitimate, and I was in the category of being a false, deceived Christian. Sometime near the beginning of 2016, I joined one of Countryside's Bible studies, 128. We had just gone to Galatians, where studying the importance of knowing that the gospel the Apostle Paul received was a direct revelation from Jesus, how adding works to the gospel contain it. One night in February, I was alone worshiping in my room, and all of a sudden, I found myself surrendering to the name of Jesus and gave my entire life to him. It was in that moment that I was saved. There was no work or action whatsoever I could do to please the Lord. I knew that I was spiritually dead without Christ, and only through faith in his resurrection and repentance of my sins was I saved. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. That's something I was taught to say when I was younger, but if you looked at my life, he clearly was not Lord. There may be some of you sitting here right now, you've been going to church for your entire life and do not know, have not responded to the gospel. Before I was saved, I couldn't articulate it. First of all, my view of God was not big enough. Phrases like "the man upstairs" are nowhere near accurate. Colossians 1:16, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." I've come to learn that he's bigger, mightier, more powerful than your mind can comprehend. At the same time, is perfectly holy in every way. Psalm 147:5, "Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure." 1 Samuel 2:2, "There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. He demands perfection for heaven." So if you think the fact that if you go to church, you believe in God, and you're moral, and you're in good standing with God, you're mistaken. I now understand that if you sin once or fail to live up to the Old Testament law just once, then you're damned. James 2:10, "Whoever keeps the whole law but fails at one point has become guilty of all of it." Since being saved, I've come to the realization that the only way for me to be in good standing with the Lord comes from the atonement of our sins on the cross through the blood of Christ. No work, no merit will ever do that. Strictly and solely, Jesus Christ being crucified, nothing else whatsoever. Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Titus 3:5, "He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." Galatians 2:16, "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified." Now I truly understand and have correctly responded to the gospel. Nothing I do on my own will ever please God, and salvation comes from believing in the resurrection, submitting to Christ as Lord, and repenting of your sins, which is also crucial. 1 John 3:6, "No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him." Ever since my salvation, the Holy Spirit has convicted me to read the word of God, and although I'm still a sinner, my habitual patterns of sin have been removed from my life. Baptism does not save you, but I want to publicly proclaim that Jesus Christ is my Lord, and that's why I'm here tonight.
Nick, thank you for your passion for the truth. We love that. We love that you have come to embrace that truth, that you have repudiated all of your own righteousness, anything you have done, and you have put your trust in the work of Jesus Christ, in his death, in his life, in his resurrection. And because of that, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Michael Escobar. My life was one with success and failures. I always thought that since I knew Jesus had died on the cross and could quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life," I believed I was going to heaven. Sadly, I began my career starting having a lot of success. I began a life of drinking and partying that progressively got worse. By the time I was almost 30, I was unaware of the strong addiction I had for alcoholism and sexual perversion of sin that I was addicted to. It was at that point I was married, have two kids, so thought that this was just a phase or someday I'll grow out of it, even though my life was consumed with sin. At this point, I was lying to everyone around me. Most of all, I was lying to my wife, who was a believer and started questioning my walk with Christ. It wasn't until November 2015 that my life of sins and lying were starting to come apart. My wife said to me on a Thursday evening, "I want to know the truth about what I was involved in," and she would not stand for any more lies. I realized my lies were going to have to stop. So I told my wife some of the things I was involved in. However, still blinded to my sin, I tried sugarcoating most of it. And it was a few days later that I thought things were calming down, that my wife late that Sunday night told me that she was not happy with me and that she knew I was still lying about the lifestyle I was involved in. And she was at a point of bringing up whether or not we could even move on together as a married couple. At this point, I was devastated and confused. I walked to the kitchen where I noticed a Bible was on the table, and so I began to read it and asked God to show me what I needed to know. It was then I came across 2 Timothy 3:2-5, "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unlovable, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. I knew after reading this that God was showing me my sin. At this point, I continued reading the Bible all night, and about 7 a.m. in the morning, I started to confess my sins. I told my wife what I had read, and for the first time, I started to be honest with her. It was a few days later that I read other scriptures, such as Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I started to see that although I knew Jesus, I never made him Lord of my life, and I needed to confess him as my Lord and Savior. And so I prayed and asked him to save me and forgive me for all the lying and sinful lifestyle that I was in, and that I wanted him to be my Lord and Savior. Since becoming a true believer in Christ, I've had a strong desire to seek God through his word. And at this point, my wife and I realized we needed to find a church that would help our walk with the Lord, and we were so thankful to find Countryside. I also joined a Bible study class that truly helped me continue my walk with the Lord. I'm happy to say it's been a year since I left a life of drinking and partying behind and have no desire to go back. I find comfort in scriptures like Romans 6:14 through 18. "For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Either sin will result in death, or obedience is resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed and have been freed from sin, and you became slaves of righteousness." As we now have three kids, with my oldest being only 3 years old, I'm so thankful I have the opportunity to show my kids God's grace and love, and hopefully through prayers and diligence, they too will come to know the Lord as their Savior as well. So I'm here tonight to be baptized, to profess my obedience to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that I hope anyone who thinks their sin is too great to handle or their problems can't be fixed, just know that God's grace is sufficient and he will save you. My prayer is that I can follow God's path for me, even though sometimes I don't have all the answers he does.
Michael, we celebrate God's goodness in your life, that he brought you through some hard and difficult days to a knowledge first of yourself and your sin, and then to a knowledge of his grace in Christ. Because you have repented of your sins and because you have embraced him as Lord, it's my joy to baptize you as a brother in Christ in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Walter Erb. Matthew 7:17 says that a good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. For 42 years of my life, I never produced good fruit. I knew the right words, and at the correct times, I knew the right actions. Never did I have a desire or an interest to serve God. I had grown up in a Christian home. I attended a Christian school. I even attended a Bible college. I had deceived a wonderful Christian woman into marrying me and ended up having some wonderful kids. Still, through all this, I never had a desire or an intent to live a life that pleased God. I thought my family would make me want to change, but the sinful addictions that began at a young age simply grew worse as every year passed. Throughout my first 42 years, I had said a sinner's prayer on numerous occasions. I believed in Jesus. I knew he was the Son of God. But 1 John 2:6 shed light on this. And it revealed that if I had truly been associated with Jesus Christ as I had claimed at one point, I would have walked in the same way that he had walked. It was the last thing on my mind. Every day I woke up with only sinful desires on my mind and the chemical dependencies I had come to want and need more than anything else. These desires consumed me all day, every day, until each night I fell asleep. You see, at the age of 5, I was introduced by a neighbor to images and magazines that his father had collected for years and were piled high in his attic. We would make our way to the attic each time I would visit his house. No adult, and especially a child, should ever have been viewing what captivated two young boys' interest for months, until it was discovered, and then I could no longer be a friend with my neighbor. This turned into an addiction, which grew stronger, and I never wanted to let go. Other sinful addictions were added to this through the years. But no matter how many prayers I prayed or attempts I made to be free of these sins, I could not change. I did all I could to hide my sin from those I knew. I had deceived everyone. As Ephesians 2:1 states, I was dead in my trespasses and sins. This ruined all my relationships that I had known, including my marriage of 18 years. Nothing could change me or free me from the bondage I was under. Only an almighty God could bring about such a change, and he began to work in my life. January 2015, on a drive to work early one morning, I told God if he was God, he would need to fix my life, because I couldn't fix it, and I could not find any desire to do so. I was too attached to the many addictions that ruled my life. I had no desire or interest to serve him. All of my futile efforts to live right had taken a toll on my mind, but little did I know what God had in store for me. John 6:44, Jesus says that no one can come to him unless God draws that individual to him. God drew me to his son through a series of powerful events that occurred in my life throughout all of 2015. One providential event after another left me in awe. And finally, at the end of 2015, when God's final step was to reveal all the secrets I had been hiding and bring them in plain sight to my family, I realized that I could no longer resist a God who sees and knows everything and who is now drawing me to his son, Jesus Christ. December 9th, 2015, a few days after my sin destroyed my marriage and I walked out of the door of my house for good, I visited with the pastor of a church in Keller and surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, which means I repented of my sin. I accepted him as Lord and Savior and King. I handed him the keys to my heart and performed a 180-degree turn in my thoughts and in my actions. It was the first prayer I had ever prayed to the Lord, which I was willing to finally repent and hand him all the sinful addictions and accept him as my Lord. John 8:36. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. I left the pastor's office that morning, December 9th, 2015, free from the chains that had enslaved me. For the first time in 37 years, the evil thoughts finally began to fade. The chemical dependencies melted away. What I tried to change for so long on my own and could not was now a reality with the help of the Holy Spirit. God had stepped into my life, and I was now part of his family, and his hand was upon me. It has been more than a year since all things have become new and the old has passed away. Oh, I still have struggles and there are difficulties, but this new life is 100% different than the old. Several factors have become a part of my life which have helped me grow and maintain my walk with the Lord. First of all, continuous Bible study and reading of his word. Regular attendance in a church such as Countryside, which shares the word of God clearly, and is a sole foundation which is shared from the pulpit. Involvement in ministry and actively seeking ways to serve in his church and do what I can to be working diligently until he returns. I want him to find me faithful. Accountability is crucial, and leaning on others when necessary and building friendships has helped maintain a steady course when the path is difficult. Finally, the power of prayer is real and a tool I sometimes neglect, but can see God working when prayer with him is consistent. The Lord has changed my life, and he has given me a new spirit and a desire to live for him. I praise the Lord for this gift of salvation, and I'm here tonight in obedience to his command to be baptized.
Thank you, Walter, for sharing your heart with us. Thank you for walking us down the path that God brought you to the end of yourself and ultimately to himself. We rejoice that you came to acknowledge your own sinfulness and that you were behind it, and that you came to acknowledge the slavery of your sin. And by his grace, the only one who could free you from that slavery found you and brought you to a knowledge of himself. Because the Son has made you free, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Joshua Sherrill. I praise the Lord that I was born into a godly heritage. At the age of 4, I prayed one evening, unprompted by anyone, for Jesus to forgive me of my sins and save me. My parents were surprised at this and cautious to affirm that I had been saved. They observed my life for 3 years before permitting me to be baptized at age 7. Looking back, my life as a child appeared to bear the fruit of repentance, but I know better than anyone it did not last. Since coming to Countryside and recognizing the importance of being baptized as a believer, I have re-examined the testimony I once claimed. As I became a teenager, I looked less and less like a Christian. I took pride in certain sins, tried to impress my peers with foul and crude language, and rebelled against authority. I despised certain members of the church. I was angry, I was arrogant, and I was unrepentant. I knew in my mind the biblical answers to my sin problem and pretended it was enough for God to let me into heaven, but life was exhausting. Like Jesus said to Saul the Pharisee in Acts 26:14, I was kicking against the goads, and it was hard. I remember one day acknowledging aloud to myself that I was not giving God the life he was worthy of, and I resolved to turn myself around spiritually, but I was not ready to repent and bow my whole heart to the Lordship of Christ. It would get worse before it got better. In the summer between my junior and senior years in high school, my family relocated from Indiana to McKinney, Texas. Nothing went according to plan, financially, logistically, relationally, so much so that my family actually moved back to Indiana after just 14 months. That first summer in Texas, I grew angrier, more calloused, and more rebellious. Life was unfair in my estimation. It was one of the most difficult hardships my family had ever known, but I believe the Lord used it to soften my heart. Toward the end of that awful year, I attended an adult Bible study with my father. A group discussion had arisen about the providence of God, and my dad responded, I'll never forget, saying, if God provides, meaning in context, if God provides the way I think he should or expect that he would, praise God. If he doesn't, praise God. I was amazed. I saw that day what a Christian really looked like. Reckless submission towards God. It was like Jesus commanded his disciples in Luke 17:10, you likewise, when you have done all those things which are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. I believe I finally bowed the knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ sometime in the summer following that day. I grew into a fervent love for God's word and an earnest desire to obey it. Rather than pride over my sin, I began walking in repentance for it, as I do still today. Rather than despising certain church members, I desire to love and serve them, as I do still today. For a while, I contemplated whether I had been genuinely saved as a teenager and simply needed believers' repentance for the sins of that season in my life. But 1 John 3:10 says, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. I was making the issue too complicated. I know that Christians may sometimes sin gravely and not repent for an extended time, but taking those two tests in that one verse, the practice of righteousness and the love of the brethren, I was not obviously a Christian until 18 years old. Jesus' command is for believers to be baptized. So I have come to be baptized today.
Joshua, thank you for your clear testimony of faith in Christ, because he has brought you out of a pretended righteousness into reckless submission to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, those were wonderful testimonies, weren't they? It's such an encouraging thing to hear how God works in individual lives. And I know for all of us who are in Christ, as we heard their stories, we couldn't help but retrace God's amazing grace in our own lives. And I suspect for some of those who are here tonight, perhaps as you've heard those testimonies, you've heard your own story, not yet completed, not yet a story of grace, not yet a story of reckless submission to Jesus Christ. It's my prayer that before this day is over, you will find yourself intentionally alone with God, crying out for the forgiveness that only He can bring, finding the freedom from sin and its slavery that is only found in Jesus Christ. Well, I hope you will remember to pray for one or more of these in the weeks ahead. Let them know that. Encourage them that you will do that. And I know that you'll join me now as we pray for them. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are truly amazed by grace. We're amazed by your grace in our lives, and Lord, as we've heard these testimonies, we are utterly amazed by your grace in their lives. Their stories, unique in some ways, but all the same in others, as you brought them to the end of themselves, to a true knowledge of their sin, and to a true knowledge that their only hope was found in the perfect life, in the substitutionary death, and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for their testimony tonight that He is Lord. And I pray that you would continue that work in their lives. Lord, for those who are new in Christ, as well as for those who have been in Christ for many years, I pray that you would continue the work of grace. I pray for Jonathan and McCray, for Andrew, for Matt, for Nick, Michael, for Walter and for Joshua. Father, that may they each experience the continuing work of your Spirit, your work through the church in their lives, your work through the time that they spend in prayer, through all of the disciplines of the Christian life. May you continually make them more like Jesus Christ. And Father, may the testimony that they gave here tonight always be supported by a love of you, a love of your word, and a life of righteousness. May that be true of all of us who know you. And Father, for those here tonight who heard these testimonies and who heard their own story, still a story of sin, may they cry out to you tonight and find grace and mercy and forgiveness at the cross. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.